I'm so thankful for all that are able to be here this morning, and wasn't sure what kind of crowd we were going to have, but this is good, and I'm glad for all of you that were brave enough to make it out during the storm. I know many can't, and again, we don't have any problem not judging anybody who's not able to be here today. We want everybody to feel secure and that they're safe. And ultimately, we all need this message about what we just sang. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, and we're finishing chapter 7, finishing the Sermon on the Mount. Number of thoughts, just in general, as we begin. I was talking with a number of pastor friends, and they all, many of them, were speaking on fear and anxiety and addressing the virus issues that we're obviously faced with and plagued with, no pun intended. Well, okay, maybe I did a little bit. My best puns, by the way, I make most, my wife could tell you, are the ones that I do entirely by accident. In my speaking, many times puns just come up, and our teenagers would always say, that was another one. I'm like, oh, wow. That was pretty good. So much anxiety, so much fear. For Christians, obviously that shouldn't be, but it's kind of hard to not get swept up in all of this. And it's a good reminder for us to, even though in the midst of being safe and being wise and counseling people to be wise, we need to remember what Jesus tells us and what we just sang about who our shelter is. There's a lot in the media, obviously, but one story that I particularly bothered me was one in the Wall Street Journal that I read a couple days ago where the writer was basically saying, don't tell people to stay calm, and basically trying to whip people up in a panic. And, you know, I read through and I understood some of the things that she was saying, but still, I'm commanded, and Christians are commanded, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to, even in the Sermon on the Mount that we saw, do not be anxious. And so I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about being calm and not being fearful. We just looked at in Philippians recently as we finished up our study, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. And then what does he say after that? And the peace of God will establish you. And he continues to talk about that. The peace of God is what we need right now, what our people need and what our nation needs. And maybe this is kind of a representation of the fact that we've strayed so far from our moorings, that as a nation, they don't know how to have peace. There are people that are trying to stir up things as well. But we can have peace no matter what we face. Christians can have peace in the midst of facing death. The Bible is clear on that. So make sure today in our spirits that we're not anxious, that we are trusting in our Savior, our Rock, Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And if somebody tells you different, have them talk to Jesus, okay? Matthew 7, verse 24 through 29. We're finishing up the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And Jesus asks us once more. He lays two choices before us, as he has done recently. He talked about asking and you shall find, entering the straight versus the narrow versus the wide gate. And now also as well, he gives us two choices. And we must choose the right one. It's imperative for our spiritual health and for our eternal destiny. We must make the right choice. We're talking today about choosing your foundation. There's ultimately only two options to base our lives on. And there are two type of people that are mentioned in this parable. The wise person and the foolish person. And you're probably already having the Sunday school song go through your mind. And try not to do the motions while we're going through. That'll be distracting. Maybe we should have sung that earlier, but I was close to requesting to sing that, but I thought, well, maybe not for the morning service. But we have the foolish and the wise person. The picture, what is it? It's of two builders who want to build dwelling places in a sandy area. And Jesus is talking here. Again, his disciples are near the Sea of Galilee. They literally can see the sea and see the shore, and they have a perfect visual of what Jesus is ending his sermon with. And building a house or a dwelling place near there. One interesting thing about this that you may not realize is during the hottest part of the year near the Sea of Galilee, the sand would bake and become very hard. So it was possible that somebody that was foolish or didn't know much about building could go to that sand and say, oh, this is hard enough. This is solid enough for me to build my dwelling place. And yet what they didn't realize was that when the torrential rains came, that would become a devastating situation for them. And so Jesus is using all of this to make his final plea to these disciples and to these people. When I think of this, it always reminds me of the time that I spent in Florida, and living in Florida. And torrential rains are a way of life. Torrential rains and hurricanes. That's what we get in Florida. And I remember a few times, the hardest rain that I have ever experienced, especially while driving, has been in Florida, where you can see the storm clouds coming, and it's just, I can't think of another word to use, but torrential, just driving rain. And as literally you're driving, as sometimes this comes down, you can't see maybe a couple feet. It's almost kind of like a blizzard up in New England where the rain gets that bad. The nice thing about the rain many times in Florida is that it's over pretty quickly. I mean, just shh, and it's done. It's like God poured a big bucket of water out, and then it's done in literally a few minutes sometimes. Hurricanes aren't quite that way. They're even more devastating, and the storms that they whip up and the winds can be very intimidating, can be fearful. People can be fearful during those. Having gone through Hurricane Andrew myself in the early 90s, that was an anxious time for me. My parents weren't around. They were visiting family up north. That was a convenient time for them to be away. And just me and one other brother that were trying to make the repairs and trying to do things that we needed to be ready for that. That can be very intimidating. Looking out while the hurricane was going by at the church building that we were in, the school complex, and watching trees just whip back and forth being tossed up and down, and road signs being 360 twirled around by these winds. The power of God in the wind and in these storms is incredible. But we have that same power to keep us anchored during physical storms and spiritual storms, emotional storms, storms that we're going through in our country for numerous reasons right now. We may be frustrated by some of that. Did this really have to be? Well, in the end, God is sovereign over all these things. And whatever we're facing, we can go through it if we make the right choice. That's what Jesus is saying here. Let's read this passage together, and then we'll pray and continue on. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do with them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Father, help us. Again, a simple illustration this morning that you gave us, that Jesus gave us, and one that is so much of utmost importance. And I know our people here today understand this, but there is a world out there to today, Lord, that's literally in a panic and fearful. And they need to know this message of making sure their life, all that they own, their spiritual life as well, is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And many are fearful because, whether they realize it or not, they've chosen to build on the wrong foundation. And may we through this have opportunities to point people to Jesus, that they may trust in Him and experience the peace that comes in the midst of the storm. Help us to be good examples of that. Lord, what a wonderful time it is to be an example of that, to be people that are unmoved because we have built on the foundation. So help us to be encouraged by this message this morning and this passage, and help us to live this passage out in our lives. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is asking us here very simply to choose our foundation. And again, there's two types of people, right? The wise person, the foolish person. What does the wise man, what does the wise person do in this parable, in this illustration that Jesus gives us? Very simply, this wise person obeys Jesus' words. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and notice he doesn't leave it there. What also does he say? And doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The wise person obeys Jesus' words. What does true hearing involve that Jesus refers to here? Well, I'm sure we've all had the experience of talking with someone, and as we're trying, and many times we're trying to relay important information to them, especially a parent with a child, and you're using up your valuable breath to be able to communicate things that you feel are important to them, and after a while you're looking at them and realizing they're with you. It's going into their ears, but they're not with you. They're not listening. Their minds are elsewhere, and they're not really hearing. They're hearing, maybe sometimes it's wah, 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 like Charlie Brown in the Charlie Brown cartoons with the teachers, but they're not really hearing many times. But you know what? Before I get too severe on other people, I've done that before too. You know, pastors and ministry leaders, we can get really good sometimes at acting like we're listening, smiling, yeah, that's great. And there are some times, and I'm not going to tell you if it was anybody in this room, okay? But there are times where I realize that people are talking and I'm thinking about the message or thinking about something else, and realize I'm not listening at all. This is horrible. Okay, Lord, help me to zero back in on what the people are saying, what they're talking about. Hearing. We can hear, but it may not have the right effect. Jesus is saying true hearing that he's referring to here will prove itself in active obedience. When we hear what Jesus has to say, we must obey it. And then we're wise. The wise person truly hears the voice of authority and says, I will do that. Because so many times we can hear the voice of authority, Jesus, God's word, the authorities we've been given, and many times not ever do or heed what we're told to do. Again, Jesus is saying here, you've not truly heard until you obey. The other aspect of this that we'll see in a minute, if we are listening but we're not doing, well, that's a foolish choice to make. And that proves where our foundation has been built. But we need this. We need to have commitment to Jesus and to obedience to what he tells us to do. Why? Jesus is the rock, right? We sang about that today. I hope that was a sincere singing in your heart. Jesus is the rock that will keep us stable in the storms of life. What will keep us stable throughout the unknowns, literally, of next week and the next few months? Who knows where these travel bans will go and how they'll work out? What keeps Christians stable? It's being obedient to Jesus and relying on Jesus. Why? Jesus is the rock here. He's referring to himself. He's talking to his disciples and saying, if you're a wise person, You will build your life on what I'm saying. You will build your life on my life, on me. You will follow me. And then it doesn't matter what happens to you. You'll be taken care of. You won't face destruction. Well, I think of this, and I think of his disciples, even the 12. He hadn't winnowed them down to the 12 yet at this point. There were others with them. But when the 12 were in the boat and the storm came up, even though they were listening, I'm sure, to this message, they still had a lot as far as actively obeying and remembering and applying what Jesus had said. But Jesus proved himself. He proved what he's saying here in literally walking on the water, coming out to them and calming the storm. In the midst of their storm, Peter getting out of the boat and relying on Jesus. And even though he was doing that, then he looked around him. Now we can have a commitment to what we're talking about this morning. Yes, Jesus is my rock. I'm committed to following him. And then we can get out there and look at everything around us and forget what we've committed even in this time this morning. And we must not do that. We must be consistent in being firm and faithful and committed to Jesus and making sure that we're following him. The solid foundation for our lives is obedience to Jesus' teaching. So are we doing that? It's good for us to take a look into our lives on a daily basis even and saying, am I a faithful, committed follower of what Jesus has told me in his word? Have I even opened God's word today? Have I even opened it this week? Do I know what God's word says that I can be committed to it? Because when things like this come up, literally worldwide, this tests, right? It's a test. Where's your foundation? And I hope that through this test that you have been leaning on Jesus Christ, because he will keep us stable. He's there talking to disciples. He's promising them, I will be with you. Follow me. Unfortunately, though, not everyone does that. And so the wise people obey God's words, but the foolish people, they refuse Jesus' words. 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And we'll get to the end here in just a minute. But you know what I think as far as practical application of what Jesus is saying here? I think of this, it's not just enough to hear God's word being preached. Remember in the Old Testament, Ezekiel the prophet, and one of the things that was described about him, I'm sure it was frustrating to him, but he was described as one that would preach and the people would come, the people of Israel, and they would come and they would afterwards say, wow, he's a really good speaker. Those were really good words. What a blessing Ezekiel's message was today. And they would go off and live their lives totally rejecting God. And that's an example of the foolish person here. There could be one that comes to church, a good, solid Bible preaching church, listens to God's word, gives assent to it even. We talked about this last week and recently, that there are those that are going through the motions and they may find some appreciation in hearing God's word preached and they may even serve Jesus Christ, but they have not built their lives on the foundation of Jesus. They have not fully committed. Their conversion, their assent to Jesus and faith was not real. It was not sincere. And they will find one day that Jesus says, you're not one of mine. You were acting like it, but you weren't. And those same people can hear the Bible being preached every week and make nice comments even. But the real test comes in their decision to do it, to do what God commands. That is the division between those that are true followers and those that are faking it, those that are foolish, the wise and the foolish. Now, I think you understand, I'm not talking about being obedient every second of our lives. We're all going to mess up at times. We're all, until we get to glory, until Jesus returns, we will all struggle with being perfectly committed to following Jesus Christ. I understand that. But we should have a desire. We should have a want. Lord, I know I'm not everything I need to be. I know as I read your word, it convicts me. I need to do better. But I want to do this because I love you and I'm committed to following you. And I have based everything in my life on you. Jesus, I have nothing else. I've put everything. Everything that my life, the meaning and everything that I've built, it's on you. And I'm all in. And that may seem a little scary sometimes, but you know what? We can confidently trust that we've made the right choice when we do that. But some people don't. They don't trust Jesus to get them through. And so in the end, they leave God out of their lives. So what is a foolish person in the end? How do you sum up a fool? It's one that leaves God out of his life. Foolishness is rejection of God's wisdom, of Jesus' teachings, of God's word. When they reject it, it's not enough to hear it. For Christians, however, I think there's still a warning here. In the application that Jesus is talking about, the broader application is he's talking to believers that are wise that have chosen Jesus and unbelievers who have chosen not to build their lives on Jesus Christ. But even with that, I think there's another application that Christians can make as well. And that is sometimes we still, even as believers, try to do things our own way. And we forget that we need to bring God in and ask his opinion. And we forget that everything that we've built our lives on is on Jesus. And we need to make sure that we've founded our decisions and everything that we do upon God's word. And sometimes we just get lazy and we try to go our own way. And that's a fatal error. Because what does it say at the end there? Happens with the house. Upon that house, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. A very vivid picture here that Jesus is painting. I still think of that hurricane that just pummels a dwelling place. And what happens to that person, that house? It falls. And it says, great was the fall of it. Now, what does that mean ultimately? Again, going back, ultimately, the most important application that Jesus is making here is he's referring to eternal destruction. And those that have not built their lives on Jesus and are unbelievers, they're a part of the other kingdom. They're not citizens of God's kingdom. Ultimately, we can say with them and warn them that if you don't turn to Jesus, yes, great will be the fall of your life. And it will have eternal consequences. Refers to eternal punishment here. Again, we don't like to think of this a lot of times. But people need to know the reality of hell and what they're facing when they don't choose to build their lives on Jesus as one of his followers. That they're facing eternal, fiery destruction that will go on forever and ever. Jesus says, you don't want to be a fool. But as well, there are those that Christians that are lazy. They know they're going to heaven, but many times they choose their own way. They forget their foundation. And you see Christians that have destroyed their lives in many ways. God offers them grace. God helps them to get back up. But sometimes we can shake our heads and say, oh, I wish that they had just followed Jesus and obeyed his word in that area of their life. And Christians need to remember, too, that when we decide to go our own way in a particular area of our life, whatever that would be, when we start to think, Lord, I've got this, I'm good, I'll just see you later, and we start heading in our own wisdom, that we're rejecting, we're forgetting the very foundation that we've built our lives on. And I think a secondary application of this is to the kingdom citizens who would go their own way and choose their own wisdom for a while, Be careful. Great will be the fall of your endeavor. Great will be the fall of your plans, because we can't make good plans, healthy plans that will have eternal fruit, if they're not based on what Jesus wants us to do. So we need to warn people of what Jesus is talking about here. And that this is not something to fool around with. This is serious, serious business with Jesus. Again, for those that would choose instead to build their lives on Jesus, to build their lives on the sand. Oh, it looks solid. That sun has baked that sand nice and hard. I think I'm good. And yet they haven't built on the rock. They're deceiving themselves. I remember having undergrad, going to college at Pensacola, there at Pensacola, Florida, and having access to the beaches there. And it always amazed me, all these homes that were along the beach that were on stilts. I mean, they look like stilts from a distance. And there were some pretty crazy designs. And I just figured, well, there must be some sort of rock or permanent foundation that they've built upon. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to get a permit and be able to do all this. But still, as you looked at these houses, and sometimes they were pretty close to the beach, and you looked at the ocean, you thought, well, you know, I'm not sure that that's just the best stable way to live. And they were vacation homes. They weren't there. People didn't live there all throughout the year. They were there at certain times. But there was numerous times, I think, after I graduated Pensacola, I had some friends that were still going there where a major hurricane came through and they had to get into the hallways and go through the drills, and it hit Pensacola and it knocked many of those houses to the ground. I mean, it just demolished them. It demolished the beaches, and it took a long time for them to get everything in order again. These storms are powerful, and we don't want to fool around with this. Jesus says, make sure you're on the right foundation. Or just like he's talked about with the wrong path and the rotten fruit tree, we may sometimes act like we're believers, but we have chosen the wrong way and great will be our fall. I think we understand that, right? But it still is hard. It still is hard many times to follow Jesus and to live this out in our lives. And that's because in the end here, as we finish up, I think many times we're not relying on Jesus to help us to be faithful, to be obedient to him. Let's just do a review here real quick. We're finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. Go back to chapter 5. What has Jesus called us to do here? The Beatitudes. He's talked about that we need to be poor, or that we need to be humble, that we need to mourn our sin, that we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to be pure, merciful, peacemakers. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be the light of the world. All of these things we've talked about. We need to be careful, not just, of course, not to murder someone, but to be careful of the destructive anger of the heart that can murder our relationships and deeply wound other people. We shouldn't have that kind of anger as well. We should be careful about the whole topic of adultery. And in our context, in our world today, being careful where our eyes are and what our thoughts are, because that's just as important as the act. We need to have a commitment to our marriages and be faithful to that incredible bond that God has given to us that is a picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be committed to be faithful to that. We need to be committed to honest living and the teaching on the oaths, making sure that all that we do, that we're honest, that what we say is what we say and what we mean. We need to be willing to forgive not only our friends, but our enemies, and love them. We need to be willing to be giving. We need to pray constantly. And it's a good reminder even today, as with this National Day of Prayer. We should be praying for our country, and we can even pray the prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. We talked about that. We need to be careful not to be hypocrites. We need to make sure that what we're doing, that we're laying up treasures in heaven, that we're not trying to just come up with and accumulate treasures here on earth. This passage on worry that we went over is particularly helpful today, isn't it? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Behold, the fowls, the birds of the air. Remember Jesus saying again, the birds don't worry, but you shouldn't either. Don't be anxious. Don't be judgmental. And continues on here. That's a lot, wouldn't you say? That's a lot to try and practice. And if we were going to make checklists of all of these things on a weekly basis, I have a feeling that we'd be pretty discouraged by the end of that week on how well we're doing. And what we need to be reminded of is that we have to rely on Jesus to do any of this. And that's why Jesus says here at the end, build your house upon me. I will give you the strength to do all of these things. I think after Jesus finishes this up, it says the people are astonished. And maybe one of the reasons they're astonished is, oh, how in the world are we going to live like that, Lord? That's a kingdom citizen. That's how we're supposed to represent in our world that we're following you and that we believe in the kingdom. Okay, how are we going to do that? That's hard. Jesus says, no. You've built your house on the rock. I will give you the power to do all of these things. We can be accepted by God based on what? On what we do? No, on what Jesus did. That's how we're saved. We put our faith and trust in Him. But then we also have to put our faith and trust in Him to live for Him. And that's the part we forget sometimes. God's grace is there for us. We can live these principles out that Jesus has given in the Sermon on the Mount when our life is built on the rock. Wonderful, wonderful truths. How are we doing? Are people seeing kingdom citizens as they look at us? Or do they wonder? Not sure what side they're on. Or do they think that we're on the other side by the way that we live? And Jesus is calling us to a number of things. First of all, be sure in your own heart what side you're on. Make sure that you have built your life, that you are trusting fully in Jesus and on the rock. And second of all, make sure that you're a proper example of that kind of confidence and trust to a world today, next week, next month, that's going to need that. Wow, those people aren't shaken by anything. What's going on with them? Well, let me tell you, my life is built on the rock, on Jesus Christ. Finally, verse 28 and 29, just as an end to this, again, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished, astounded at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Why were people in the end so astonished? They'd heard teaching before. They hear the rabbi and Jewish leaders teach in every week. What was so different about the way that Jesus taught? Well, they were used to maybe sometimes a kind of dry description, but the teaching of the rules by their Jewish leaders that were based upon the teachings of leaders that had come before them and rabbis that had come before them. And I think the whole process was probably getting a little dry. But when Jesus spoke, he didn't speak on the opinions that past rabbis had given about God's word, but he gave God's word, and he gave the interpretation that people needed to reset as far as their thinking. Well, how could Jesus have the authority to do that? Because Jesus gave them the word. He's God. He has full authority to interpret God's law. And they knew that. And as they heard him, they said, wow, this guy really means what he says. He has an authority in his teaching that we've never heard before. And I think as well, they were noting, he has a power in his teaching that we've never heard before. It would have been quite something, wouldn't it, have to actually heard Jesus teach and to hear these truths directly from him? Well, one day we are going to hear from him when he returns. And for those of us that have built our foundation on Jesus, that's going to be a glorious thing, right? It's going to be a beautiful sound. But you don't want to be the person who's been faking it. And when Jesus returns, you say, uh-oh. I'm in for it. I'm in trouble. Let's pray together. Father, help us. First of all, again, Father, to make sure that each and every one here, that we truly are following the narrow road, the sacrificial road. And by doing that, that means we truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ where we've put our faith and trust in Him fully and nothing else. And then, Lord, help us to make sure that we are being good examples of that. That we're being good examples of the confidence and peace and wisdom that we have through Jesus and through following His teachings. Lord, if there's someone here that still doubts and wonders what foundation they're building their lives on, may today be the day they get that figured out. Help them, Lord. Show them through the Spirit's power to make a true, not hypocritical, but a true, sincere commitment through faith in Jesus alone and start depending upon the rock and not themselves. But Lord, help us as Christians, again, to not be depending upon our own efforts, to live this out, but be fully dependent upon Jesus and His power to be able to live these things out. And we will have success and we will be a wonderful example to those who need it, especially now more than ever. And Father, we now pray for our nation. We pray for help. We pray for our president and those leaders around him and for our local officials, our governors and many others. We pray for help and for wisdom for them. We pray that the sickness would not expand much further, that they would get it contained. We pray that our people would be well. We pray that our people, the people around the country, would stay healthy. And that through this we would learn the lessons that we need to. But ultimately, Lord, that people would be turned to Jesus Christ through this. Let this not be wasted, but let us be telling the truth of the rock of ages, the solid rock.